from Redeemer Broadcasting, this is Holding All Things Together for this third weekend in June. I'm Dan Elmendorf.
And I'm Calvin Carter. Some people and groups like to project and accuse you of doing something that they themselves really are guilty of. This appears to be the case with the Southern Poverty Law Center, or SPLC. The SPLC started off with the noble intention of advocating for civil rights, particularly for the black community. Yet, more recently, corruption appears to have undermined the organization's original mission. Now they create lists of what they perceive as hate groups. The SPLC has made false accusations against any number of honest, good Christian organizations who teach the time-tested positions of the Word of God in the Old and New Testaments. The latest casualty in the SPLC's unjust hit list is now Focus on the Family. Can you imagine that? Calling Focus on the Family a hate group? Sounds like the SPLC is the one doing the hating here. Joining us to explain what's going on is attorney Nicole Hunt.
The Southern Poverty Law Center, they began as with really a great mission, advocating for civil rights, especially in the South, for African Americans. But as of late, they've created this hate list. And what they do is they, a lot of times, will target Christian organizations who are advocating for, the teachings of the Old Testament and the New Testament, not to mention common sense about the biological reality of gender and of natural marriage. And so Focus on the Family, for the first time in our 48-year history, was put on this list, which really tells me that we're over the target.
Also ahead, Pastor Bill Shisko discusses the three categories of God's law and the three uses of God's law.
Later in the program, writer Jerry Wiss asks, what brings happiness? For years, we've heard of depression among our youth, but that's changing. It appears that we are seeing a rise in Christianity among Gen Zers. Church attendance and Bible reading are on the rise in this age group. Interest in faith-based stories on streaming services are also on the rise. God is at work.
Finally, we'll take another look at This Week in History. All this just ahead on Holding All Things Together.
Well, we're dealing with the sum of sound doctrine as summarized in the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And we've come to questions 39 and 40, which deal with how we ought to live and please God. And that is by obedience to his revealed will. And his revealed will, his moral law, is summarized in the Ten Commandments. Let's talk a little bit about the law, okay, and the way it's used in the scriptures. Old Testament law, there's three parts. There's ceremonial law, the sacrificial system and everything connected with the temple and the tabernacle and the priests and so on. That ceremonial law is all fulfilled in Christ. Then there's judicial law. There's law that was given to Israel as a nation at that time. And there are principles in those judicial laws that are good to apply in every nation at any time. But we're dealing with the moral law as summarized in the Ten Commandments. And along with the law, there's three uses of the law, especially the moral law. One is the law, especially the moral law, is a transcription of God's holiness. It's what God requires of people as people. Now, that's why if the Ten Commandments are posted in public schools and in government buildings, praise the Lord, because that's not an establishment of a religion. It's a statement of the law that God has implanted in everybody's heart, which we covered last week. Well, the law also convicts us of sin. It's called a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. If I could put it this way, the law can be like barbed wire. The more you focus on it and how am I doing with it, you get cut really badly. That's why you need Jesus to heal you up. So the law does convict you of sin. But here, the law is a standard for our obedience. It's not a ladder by which you go up to heaven, but it's road signs that tell you stop, 45 miles per hour, red light, or proceed with caution. Now that's the way in which, as believers, we use the law. In fact, frankly, that's what's in view when the law is given in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. The law builds on grace. It doesn't begin with commandments. It says that the Lord delivered you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Well, do you love the law of God? You're meant to. What does that mean? We'll start dealing with that next week.
On the Zoom line with us today is Nicole Hunt, attorney. And Nicole, thank you for joining us.
Oh, yeah. Happy to be here.
Now, you work with Focus on the Family. And can you tell us what you do there for them?
Sure. So my background is actually law and politics. I am an attorney, so I provide legal analysis on issues of the day. One of the policy issues that captures a lot of my attention is the sanctity of human life. Mm. In particular, you know, what we know to be true as Christians about human life, that we're made in the image of God, and we're called to go out into our culture and to represent that truth. It's a truth that, you know, I'm happy to report there was a Gallup poll that just came out this week that says Americans are more pro-life this year than they were last year. And so,
oh, that's good.
You know, we're winning the war on opinion in our culture, and it's something that's really important to continue speaking into as Christians.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yes, absolutely. Sometimes our position on things raises the ire of others around us, and one such group that may have started okay but has turned very anti-Christian is this SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center. And they've kind of got you guys in their focus right now. And can you tell us what's happening there?
That's right. We're in the crosshairs. And yes, so the Southern Poverty Law Center, they began with really a great mission, advocating for civil rights, especially in the South, for African Americans.
Right.
But as of late, they've created this hate list. And what they do is they, a lot of times, will target Christian organizations who are advocating for, you know, the teachings of the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Right.
Not to mention common sense about the biological reality of gender and of natural marriage. And so Focus on the Family, for the first time in our 48-year history, was put on this list, which really tells me that we're over the target, because really they are targeting Christian organizations that are making a difference in culture by standing up for truth.
Yeah, you're just talking about what God tells us in the scriptures. So they put you on a hate list. Well, how did that make you feel?
Well, I mean, okay, there's a couple of responses. Initially, the question really was, well, goodness gracious, what took them so long? Because the truth is, for the last 48 years,
yeah,
Focus on the Family has been advocating for biblical truth and biological reality. And let me just say, we have six core principles that guide us, but three are particularly relevant to the criteria of this group, Southern Poverty Law Center. The first is that we know the value of male and female, and that God created men and women distinctly unique for a purpose.
Yeah.
And that is God ordained. And second, that natural marriage is between one man and one woman, and that is the That is the environment in which children are supposed to be raised, because that is what children need. And then the third is that we all have a social responsibility, especially as Christians, to influence our culture according to God's design and to God's purpose. So these are things we've been doing at Focus on the Family for the last 48 years. But, you know, now apparently we're on their radar. The second response is just that this organization really has thrown the word hate around with such like flagrant, I guess, ease that it really doesn't mean anything anymore, but it can incite violence. And in, I think it was 2012, our friends, Family Research Council, got added to the list as a hate group. And someone went to their facility and shot at a security guard. And they said that they did it because Family Research Council was on the hate list. So it's also very dangerous, right? Because it can ignite these passions in people who want to then go out and try to do something about it. So,
that's right.
You know, Southern Poverty Law Center, they, at the end of the day, I think that they do this as a gimmick for fundraising. They have to create a false boogeyman. And so they come up with Christian organizations that haven't embraced the leftist ideas of woke culture as the boogeyman in order to raise money.
Yes, yes. I can't add anything to that. You've covered it very well. Parental rights. Do you see that under attack?
Oh, sure. We sure do. You know, Focus on the Family, we're based out of Colorado. And this last legislative session, we actually advocated strongly against a bill that was going to take away rights from parents. And it actually made the national news. We had Focus on the Family colleagues. I was one of them who were testifying against the measure. Our president, Jim Daly, released a video asking the governor to veto. But basically, it's a bill that if passed, and it was signed, it would allow the state to designate parents who don't affirm their child's gender identity as discriminating against their children. And so it becomes a discrimination claim, which, let's say the kids go to attend a public school. Well, public school counselors could report to the state that these parents won't affirm their child. And then the state could open a case up against the parents and do an investigation to see whether or not there's discrimination and potentially even remove children from parents' homes because they fail to follow the same ideological beliefs of the state. So it's very dangerous, very dystopian and Orwellian. It's something that we advocated strongly against. And so immediately, as soon as this measure was signed, there was a lawsuit filed by a parents group. And, you know, we're following that very closely. But of course, these are not just parental rights, they're free speech rights of anybody who's speaking in the public. You know, if you fail to recognize a person's gender or preferred gender or preferred name, you could be accused of discrimination.
Yes. I'm very thankful that you and others like you are out there protecting Christians from slander, from like this SPLC is doing to your group, and also protecting parental rights. What about religious freedom? Anything come to the surface on that one?
Yeah. So, you know, we're tracking. So there's about 2 weeks left of the United States Supreme Court term. They usually end right around the end of June, possibly the beginning of July. And so we have several cases that we're tracking there. One of them is related to religious freedom. And it is a case that came out of Maryland, actually. Mm-hmm. So in Maryland, there's a law that says that parents are not allowed to opt their children out of LGBT curriculum. As shocking as that sounds. And so these parents, and actually it's so interesting because it's a collection of parents from different faith backgrounds. We've got a group of Muslim parents, Jewish parents, Christian parents. All of them are asking to opt their children out of these LGBT materials in the classroom.
Interesting.
And so they took it to the Supreme Court and they said, this is in conflict with our religious teachings on gender and on sexuality. And so we want to be able to opt our children out. And if we can't, well, that is infringing our First Amendment right to the free exercise of religion. So the court heard oral argument in this case back in April. It's one of the more controversial cases. So we're expecting it probably not to come down until maybe, you know, one of the very last days that they release opinions. But the question before the court really is whether public schools are violating religious freedom of parents by requiring that their children learn about LGBT materials in the classroom without providing an opt-out. And so it's very interesting because actually both of the lower courts in this case ruled against the parents. And they argued that just because kids are exposed to differing viewpoints doesn't make it a violation of religious freedom. But I listened to the oral arguments in this case, and it was very interesting because a majority of the court seemed to be leaning towards requiring schools to give an opt-out, which really would set a precedent for broader religious exemptions mm-hmm. and also expand parental rights in public schools. So this is something that we're following very closely at the Daily Citizen, and I would encourage all of your listeners to be paying attention to as well, because this is going to be very important for parents who are Christian, who have their kids in public school.
Yeah. Well, today we're talking with Nicole Hunt, and she is an attorney and serves as a writer and spokesperson at Focus on the Family. Last minute remaining, anything you want to bring to our attention, Nicole, before we go?
You know, I would just say, you know, what we talked about initially about the Southern Poverty Law Center, I wanted to mention there are so many really fantastic Christian organizations that have been put on this, quote, hate list.
Yeah.
Folks like Alliance Defending Freedom, Family Research Council, I mentioned, Family Policy Alliance, also friends of ours, even the Sweet Moms for Moms for Liberty, who are advocating for the innocence of their children.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to encourage your listeners that, you know, I think that the time is ripe for Christians to be bold.
Amen.
About what we believe, not to be fearful or afraid that we're going to be canceled. And so just know that there's an opportunity here. Our culture wants to hear various opinions on these topics. And as Christians, we are called to be light in the darkness.
That's right.
To share truth to our culture. And we can do it in love. We can do it in a way that honors God. But the most loving thing to do is to be honest about what it looks like to have a thriving life. And we know that God calls all of us to honor him in our lifestyle. And so what we know to be true about human sexuality and natural marriage, these are truths that help people have life to the full. And so don't be afraid to share these truths with our neighbors, because it's the most loving thing we can do.
Amen. Nicole Hunt, attorney and writer, spokesperson, Focus on the Family. Thank you so much for what you're doing. Keep up the good work, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you. God bless.
What brings happiness? For years, we've heard of depression among our youth, but that's changing. Depression among Gen Zers, those between the ages of 13 and 28, has recently been decreasing. Suicide in this age group has also been declining. What contributes to the change? Could it be we are seeing a rise in Christianity among Gen Zers? Church attendance and Bible reading are on the rise in this age group. Interest in faith-based stories on streaming services are also on the rise. Happiness is up among the youngest adult or about to become adult group in the U.S. It appears that a faith awakening is occurring among this cohort. Today, Jerry Wiss looks at this encouraging phenomenon. Jerry is a frequent contributor to Holding All Things Together and is a writer for Christian Renewal magazine.
Are you happy? That may seem a loaded question. The answer may be yes, but with provisos, or no, with an exception or two. For quite a while, large numbers were in the no category, especially among young people. Mental health has taken the stage front and center in recent years. especially for our younger generations, with a constant monitoring of depression and suicide. Some see the heavy reliance on social media as the culprit, although that's hard to prove. Happiness among Gen Zers, 13 to 28-year-olds, however, has taken a definite upswing recently. The swing is not large, but does seem significant. Daniel Eisenberg, a health policy professor at UCLA, has been monitoring this shifting cohort for a while. In 2007, 22% showed signs of depression. Astoundingly, that number doubled by 2022 to 44%. But in 2023, Eisenberg noted a change. 41% of Gen Zers showed signs of depression. A year later, in 2024, depression among Gen Zers notched lower again to 38%. The Center for Disease Control, or CDC, confirms Professor Eisenberg's findings, noting that its survey of teens feeling depressed at least once a week fell to 13.3% from 16.5%. Also, in a more focused survey conducted by the CDC, teens who said they don't enjoy life was at about 25% in 2023. Compared to 29% in 2021. Suicide in the age group also declined. Researchers are scratching their heads. After all, social media use has not decreased among this cohort. If anything, it's grown. Could it be that not social media, but what Gen Zers are watching on it is contributing to the difference? Perhaps Gen Zers, many of them children or very young adults during the pandemic, are simply happy to be out from under the COVID-19 scare. Well, perhaps, but there may be another explanation. Interestingly, although identification with the Christian faith has not grown in general, in fact, it has declined some more, there's evidence suggesting that Christianity among Gen Zers is increasing, particularly in terms of church attendance and religious identification. In fact, some reports note that church attendance among Gen Zers had quadrupled in recent years. Furthermore, data suggest an increase in Bible use and engagement, including rising Bible sales, particularly among first-time buyers. Also, Christian-themed entertainment and content are gaining popularity, further suggesting a renewed interest in faith-based stories. Some reports note a resurgence of traditional Christian values among Gen Zers, including a renewed interest in stable families and homes, which aligns with the overall trend of increased Christian faith identification and engagement. Perhaps then, without presuming on a cause and effect, we can at least offer a possible explanation to researchers scratching their heads. Happiness is up, or at least depression is on the decline, among 13 to 28-year-olds. At the same time, this same age group, more than any other right now, has taken an interest in the Christian faith, and more than what seems a passing interest, as per Barna Group and Pew Research. Could there be a quiet revival occurring and among an important upcoming segment of our population? The word blessed in the Lord Jesus' Beatitudes in Matthew 5 can be translated happy, but happy are the poor in spirit? Happy are those hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Or who are persecuted for the sake of the Lord Jesus? Well, that seems counterintuitive. But Christianity is counterintuitive to the natural man. It's poverty in spirit that leads to grace and peace. It's yearning for righteousness that sets the stage for spiritual satisfaction. And yes, it's picking up his cross to follow him that leads to resurrection life. The stats show our youth are beginning to get it.
Time once again for This Week in History. June 17, 1940. With Paris in the hands of the German army, French military hero of World War I, Marshal Henri Pétain, replaces Paul Reynaud as Prime Minister and declares his intentions to sign an armistice with Germany. And June 18, 1815. The army led by Napoleon Bonaparte, Emperor of France, is defeated by Britain's Duke of Wellington in Belgium at Waterloo. After rising through the ranks of the French Revolutionary Army in the 1790s, Napoleon became First Consul of France in 1800. After extending his grasp to include a vast amount of Europe, he will be exiled to the island of St. Helena, where he will live until cancer takes him in 1821. That was This Week in History, Events as Man Recorded Them, As God Ordained Them.
That's our program for this week. Thanks for joining us. Holding All Things Together is a production of Redeemer Broadcasting, and the views expressed are those of the participants. If you'd like to support us and help on production and distribution expenses, you may visit our website and give in a secure fashion online. We're found at RedeemerBroadcasting.org. For Holding All Things Together, I'm Dan Elmendorf.
And I'm Calvin Carter.
God willing, see you next week.